1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. And as you know, students looking for accommodation for the new academic year about to begin in a few weeks' time have never had it so difficult, so bad, so scarce. That report from Daft, appropriately enough, daft.ie today, saying the number of properties available to rent is at the lowest since records began in 2006. Rents have gone up in Dublin in the last 6 months by 12%, and the average rent in Dublin is 1,700 euro per month. Now, Pat contacted us about a relation of his and a difficult situation. Pat, I know it's not this academic year, but what happened? They started in their student accommodation in September.
That's right, Joe. Yeah, it's back. It wasn't this year now. I think it was actually 2 years ago gone. But basically, she came up from the country, a small town in west of Ireland. Mm-hmm. She secured student accommodation within an education, not she wasn't in this college, but this education college has a campus, a student campus.
Okay, which they rent out to students, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, okay. Exactly. So anyway, she came up delighted that she got accommodation. It'd been so hard to get, but she had to pay the money up front for the accommodation from September until January, which was $3,500.
Okay, wow.
So yeah, she was in the accommodation about 2 weeks. Now, she did sign a contract when she entered into the accommodation. But anyway, they were in the house or in the apartment or whatever it is on a whatever Wednesday, Thursday night, or on a couple of friends. And between them, anyway, they smoked a couple of cigarettes. They covered up a smoke alarm. Mm-hmm. And they went home for the weekend. So obviously, they hadn't realised they left it covered or whatever. They came back up on the Sunday evening. Their key cards wouldn't work in the door. They went down to maintenance. They were told they were moving them into another apartment temporarily. The next day, they went down to a meeting or whatever, and the girl in question put up her hand and said, "Look, I done it. I covered the smoke alarm." So she was evicted, which was fair enough. She accepted she had done wrong, but they kept her €3,500. They wouldn't refund it. They wouldn't whatever. So as an effect of that, she dropped out of college. She actually, it just ruined her life, like. So, and it's just if people are aware, you know, you're sending
So for her €3,500, she got how many weeks? Well, in the accommodation,
2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
And did the other two flatmates, did they pay €3,500 each as well?
No, they were left in the accommodation. But you see,
they were left.
I suppose. Yeah, but I suppose her just being, it's just the type of person, she put her hand up and she said, "Look, I did it. We're not all going to get into the mess or whatever." And as I say, I realise rules are rules and she has to, you know, be punished for breaking the rules, which I thought the eviction was fair enough. If you're evicted, you're evicted. She had to go and look for further accommodation, everything else. But basically, they ruined that girl's chances at college because she worked the entire summer, worked her ass off to save that money for this accommodation. And it was just a way, there was no bit of compassion, there was nothing like. And then the same college has an ad on the radio every other day of the week saying, you know, how driven they are for students' well-being and everything else. And as far as I'd be concerned, you know, there was none of that. There was no, and that was it.
And Pat, you're adamant she was evicted from her accommodation after 2 weeks, so she lost the accommodation, lost her €3,500, and you say she also left college.
She dropped out of college though because she had no choice. She didn't have a deposit to get further accommodation. She couldn't get further accommodation. She actually went to the counsellor in the college she was attending, who said she developed an eating disorder. Life just spiraled out of control because, as he said, she lost control of her life. She was a girl with a plan, her money saved up, her accommodation sorted out, her college course sorted out, and it went from that, for the sake of smoking a cigarette, it went to college gone. Just her life just changed for, you know, because of somebody. As I say, I realise rules are rules, they have to be stuck to, but, I mean, a first offence.
And was there given, only yesterday I was reading about 4 or 5 different reports about mental health of third level students. And I think Trinity alone dealt with nearly 1,800 students attended for, you know, counselling or whatever. So it is a big issue.
Yeah.
What, you're adamant there was no appeals procedure.
There was, Joe. She went to a hearing.
Yeah.
And her mother actually went down to the said college the next day.
Yeah.
She sat down in front of the kind of housing officer or whatever. And he said, no, rules were rules. That was it. She was out the gate and she wasn't getting her money back.
And did they were they able to communicate with this appeals officer or whatever that, like, this was the end of her college life? This was the end of her...
That didn't come into it, Joe. The actual housing officer said to her, because she appealed it within the college system, she got an appeal, she went to the appeal, and after the appeal, she lost the appeal again, because basically... As far as I could see, it didn't matter what she said.
Hang on, it sounds to me like the appeal was the person who heard the appeal was the person who made the decision in the first place.
It was Joe, yeah.
It's supposed to be
But he actually turned. He turned around to the girl when she walked out after the second appeal and he said to her, well, he said, it's like this. It's a lesson learned. It may be an expensive lesson, but it's a lesson learned for you. And that was it. As I said, the girl was. Devastated, an 18-year-old girl, after working all summer to save $3,500, she thought she had her accommodation sorted out. She thought she had her, you know.
And where is she now?
She's working in Dublin.
Okay.
But she just said she couldn't, at the time, she couldn't afford the...
Okay, stay there for a sec, Pat. Philip, 51551 text, joe@rt.ie. You're listening, Philip, go ahead.
I am, Joe, yeah, thanks. Well, I'm astonished to listen to your contributor there defending a girl who literally covered a smoke detector while she had a smoke, not realising that smoke detectors are up there to just identify their stupidity, but it's also there to protect other people who are in occupation of the building in case a fire breaks out. So she covers a smoke detector, she has a cigarette. They saved her a lot of time and money by letting her leave, by getting her out of the college. If she's too stupid to realise that smoking is a ridiculous habit, if she has ignored the warnings and the education about the dangers of smoking,
how old are horses there? Now, smoking isn't illegal, the last time I looked. In fact, the state gets an enormous amount of taxation out of smoking.
Sorry. Did I say it was illegal?
Yeah, but you're saying...
I did not say it was illegal. I said it was stupid to cover a smoke detector. Where did I say it was illegal to smoke?
No, you didn't say that. You said that...
No, I didn't.
She said... You said if she hadn't learned... It helped her learn her lesson. If she ignored all the warnings about smoking...
They did her a favour. She'd be wasting herself going to higher education because she wasn't able to absorb the education
coming from
the health authorities about the dangers of smoking.
How can you say such a thing? How can you judge a person like that?
Joe, don't come down on me because you made a silly statement there a moment ago.
I'm
telling you the facts. It's... Are you telling me
hang on, the logic of what you're now saying, Philip, is that I don't like smoking, never smoke, but the logic of what you're saying is that any student who's applied to the CAO for a third level course, if they smoke, they shouldn't be allowed to proceed. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that specifically. What I'm saying is, in the general terms, anybody who continues to smoke, in spite of the warnings contained on the pack that they hold in their hand, it's telling them they're going to die younger. If they ignore that, that's either they're seriously addicted, which, by the way, smoking is a serious addiction.
Yeah.
It's more addictive than heroin. I accept that. But the point is, they are warned time immemorial about the dangers of smoking. And they just continue to smoke.
But you're also saying third-level education is wasted on them. Wasted on smoking.
Of course it is. Because you know what's going to happen? Businesses are slowly but surely realising that engaging smokers in employment is a negative aspect to the growth of their business by virtue of the fact that smokers take longer breaks, they take time off work, they're off work for more ailments, and there is no discrimination against refusing to employ a smoker, and more companies are realising that. So her education, her prospects are reducing as time moves on, and smokers are going to find this out.
Okay, Pat, what do you think of what Philip Tobin is saying there? Then? It was a lesson.
Well, same with yourself, Joe. You know, I didn't come on to talk about the benefits or the health of smoking cigarettes and all that. I said, you know, a student that comes up to Dublin, just for people to be aware, they're sending their kids up to these colleges. You know, they're giving them the money, go up, pay your rent for a year. Then, for whatever reason, you know, we're not talking about people that have finished college and are highly educated. And the young people getting up to Dublin, getting out of home, they're going to be out, they're going to have the odd party, they're going to have whatever, and, you know, there is a likelihood that out of a student block of maybe 500 or 600 people, a couple of them smokeless. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's not that she, you know, some kind of a leper that she has to go around ringing the bell because she smokes a cigarette. Like, I mean, what I'm saying is, the punishment, yeah, okay, expel her from the accommodation. First offence, in the accommodation, 2 weeks. But you have to take, where did this person, what had she to do to make this money? What does this mean for her life now when she's, you know, expelled from the college?
It's okay, thanks. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, Sean, I just want to bring Sean in. Stay there, Philip. 51551. Sean Brophy, you're listening to Pat. Go ahead, Sean.
Hello,
Philip.
Joe. I would be a bit sympathetic with the young lady, I'll have to say, but I would. The point was made by Philip, though, is a valid one, because bunging up smoke alarms is a sort of a safety issue for the rest of the residents in the block. But I also feel that, and I looked at the UCD regulations, and I presume it applies in other colleges as well, I think they are in compliance with the actual legislation, the anti-smoking legislation. So in that sense...
In what way? Like, you can be...
No, it's part of the reason why they have a non-smoking campus, or at least a non-smoking residential area in the campus. And I presume that that's in compliance. It says in the rules on UCD anyway that it's in compliance with the anti-smoking legislation, and that's a point also worth making. But I would sort of feel that it was a bit extreme, okay? I think some of the money could have been given back, because let's face it, if you're in a hotel...
Well, I think she could have been given a warning.
I'm assuming that she was given a warning in regard to the actual regulations when she signed the lease. But but if she wasn't, she should have been, you know. So, but the point I suppose, if you breach the regulations in a hotel and you're found out, you're fined a couple of €100. So maybe some of the money should have been given back. A penalty should have been imposed, okay? And maybe a penalty would be a better thing to apply in the context of what happened.
Philip, did you mention there that some jobs can be disqualified from a job because you do smoke?
You can, if you make a declaration when you're applying for the job that you don't smoke, and subsequently find out that you do, they can let you go.
And just educate me there. Where do you? This is in legislation, is it?
It's European legislation that I got clarified in 2006 in the European Parliament.
And what prompted you to get it clarified, Philip?
Because I refused to employ a smoker, and she reported me to the authorities, and the authorities took it all the way to the European Court, and they clarified that it is not illegal to refuse to employ a smoker. And also, you can dismiss a smoker if they make a declaration that they don't smoke.
And do you insist on a declaration from? Are you still an employer?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you? What declaration do I have to sign if I'm lucky enough to get a job with you?
You don't have to sign anything. I'll ask you, do you smoke? And if you do, the first question upon appointment for an interview with me, they will be asked, do they smoke? They say they do. That's it. I don't proceed with the interview.
You don't proceed with the interview?
I don't interview smokers.
Stephen Hawking, Einstein applied for a job with his pipe. Wouldn't you give him an interview?
Stephen Hawking doesn't smoke a pipe. Einstein did before the true negative aspects of smoking were known. And pipe smoking is not as bad as cigarette smoking because they don't generally ingest it into their lungs.
You get my point. Have you ever looked at the CV of somebody applying for a job in your firm? I don't know what type of work you do. Are you computers or whatever? Have you ever... Like, if you ever looked at a CV and said, my God, this is a fantastic CV, and then when you asked them, do you smoke, they said, yes, I do, and you tore up the CV and that's the end of it.
Well, it's a bit like... What I put in the advertisements is smokers need not apply.
You put that in your ads?
I put that in the ad, yeah.
And what reaction do you get, Philip?
Smokers don't apply. Or if they do, and they tell me they don't, well, better not. I'm being a bit extreme there. Look, I don't want to be too flippant.
No, you know, you're deadly serious about it because it is a deadly illness. I understand that. I understand. Now, take me to the European Court. How do we end up there? You sack someone.
Yeah, well, Jerry Ryan rang me to ask me about the fact that I was carrying an ad for employees and it contained the notes that smokers did not apply. So it went from him to the newspapers and radio stations. Then it became an international story. And then a European Member of Parliament in Scotland raised it at European level, and it went to their, I think, medical department, or for want of a better word, something like that there. And they came back to say, yes, you can refuse to employ a smoker. It's probably the only thing you can discriminate. You can't discriminate on race, creed, colour, and all that other stuff. But you can refuse to employ a smoker.
Okay, and you have.
And that was clarified at the European Parliament level.
So so every ad you've now, every time you're looking for an employment ad, you say smokers need not apply, full stop.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
I don't do it. We don't have, we're not regular advertisers. We're happy enough. We have confidence.
Now, is anyone in your employ at the moment smoking?
No.
No?
No.
Is anyone anyone in your family smoking?
Not at all.
Did you ever smoke?
No.
Okay. Do you have a high staff turnover? Is there anything else you're extraordinarily strict on?
I'm not extraordinarily strict, Joe. It's logical. A smoker, you don't have, people don't go out for apple breaks, you know? Smokers go out for breaks. They go out, it's a 15-minute trip. It's twice in the morning, twice in the afternoon. They come back and they smell. I have a small office, and I just don't want to smell of a smoker in my company.
Well, let me come at, let me come at another way in this particular case. Where I thought you were being very hard, maybe I was very hard on you, but I thought you were being very hard on this 18-year-old. Like, have you got an 18-year-old, or have you had an 18-year-old child? Or
I've had three of them all.
Okay, well, you know, they're fantastic, I'm sure, and healthy, hopefully, and all that carry on. But they do make mistakes.
And someone
to make a mistake like that 2 weeks into college, first year, new to Dublin, makes a stupid mistake with two other pals, and you know all the thing about peer pressure and all. She fesses up, saying I was the one that put a bit of sellotape over the smoke alarm, but she's evicted and she drops out of college and she has eating problems, and it's a very, very draconian punishment. Do you not think
Well, the consequences for her were profound, and I would feel sorry for her, because she obviously, like what's happened to her, has taken on, has just moved forward and created a very, very difficult situation for the girl, and I feel sorry for her. But, you know.
You say it was a lesson worth learning. That's what you said earlier.
Well, she probably still smokes because, you know, it is a serious addiction. But
okay, well, Pat, excuse me, that's not a smoker's cough, by the way. Does your relation still smoke, Pat?
She does, Joe, yeah. But as I say, I would agree with that man's point to smoking in the workplace and everything else. Yeah, of course it makes sense, because you see people outside buildings everywhere smoking, and I take his point there 100%. And, you know, what I'm saying about this particular girl is she didn't have an issue with being or admitting to it and being evicted, and if they had to say, look, we will hold half your money or something, but the fact was, she was 2 weeks into college.
I know,
that's
I take that point.
It is.
It is crime and appropriate punishment. Siobhan, 51551. Siobhan is in Cork. Siobhan.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Should she have been evicted?
Well, first off, I'm guessing she was over 18, so she was a woman.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Not a girl.
Sorry,
but
I take your point.
Of,
sorry, my mistake.
Yeah. Sure. You weren't the only one at it. I had smokers in the house, and I make it very clear the moment I meet people, my house is non-smoking
and
house.
To who? Like, to your children or to...
No, I rent out rooms.
You rent, okay.
And I make it very clear that it's a non-smoking house and there's a smoking section in the patio.
Okay.
And I had occasion to evict somebody a couple of years ago because he didn't quite understand, and I think maybe he grew up in a smoking household, that he thought that non-smokers weren't, our noses aren't as sensitive as we were letting on. And so I think he thought if he leaned out the window,
that
would make
do,
a difference. But no, when he left, when I had to get rid of him, I tried cleaning the walls and I tried everything, and the smell of smoking wouldn't move. And eventually I moved the bed and there were about 40 cigarette butts underneath the bed. You know, he just, his concept of hygiene and smell and clean were different from mine.
Okay, but you're,
But that's not actually why I called the show.
Just let me clarify that. In this case, the caller lost after 2 weeks, she lost $3,500, which she paid up front.
But yes, that was the contract.
Did you
that was a large apartment building. And if the building had burnt down and 100 students had lost their lives, then someone who was managing the building would have said, those fire alarms should have been checked on a daily basis to make sure that students who didn't smoke. So the building manager couldn't win at all in this situation, really, you know.
And you wouldn't take that amount up front as a deposit, would you? $3,500?
Well, I don't.
No, you know what I mean. So she lost her year's money.
She did, but, you know, I'm sorry.
Okay, what else do you watch out for when students
are... Listen, I called in to say, when I put an ad up, I often get calls from mothers.
Yes.
Who are looking for accommodation for sons, invariably sons.
Okay.
I never get a call looking for accommodation for a daughter. Mm-hmm. And my initial response is always, I wouldn't dream of letting a room to this person, because if he's not able to organise accommodation for himself, he wouldn't be any class of a tenant. Okay, so this is my advice to people looking for accommodation.
Take me again slowly. I'll paraglide with you on that jump you just made.
Well, if I get a mother who's calling up looking for an accommodation on her son, for her son, who's presumably over 18.
Yeah, okay.
And was able to, you know, get enough points to get into college, why isn't he organising this on his own behalf?
Okay.
My vision is of somebody who wouldn't wash a dish or be able to do anything on his own. And I would be accepting somebody's burden.
And would you, but Siobhan, have you ever said that to any of the mothers?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And how do they react?
They don't take it very well.
Tell me what they don't.
No, but you know, I think a bit of honesty at this point is worthwhile. You know that if he can't organise his accommodation in the way his sister can clearly organise her accommodation, then maybe the sister is the better roommate.
Okay, and how have you managed with tenants generally?
I do very well with tenants, you know, but those were just, I just called in to make that point.
Okay, and is there any other hints or tips that you'd give prospective, as you know, there's a massive encouragement for people, especially now with the panic on, for people to take in one student in digs or whatever. With Philip on smokers, lots of people on smokers agree with Philip and you. You say if the mammy rings, that's a definite no-no. They haven't a hope of getting accommodation.
Well, would you want to live with someone who's used to his mammy being before and behind him?
But I'm looking for other indicators, like if they parts of the country, particular courses.
No, sure. The only thing is to meet people in person, isn't it?
Yeah, so you do meet them in person. Okay.
And
thanks for making the call. Are you full for this year, Siobhan?
I am, I'm sorted. Thanks very much.
Okay, mind yourself. Okay, Siobhan, Sean Brophy, Philip Tobin, Pat, thank you. 51551 1850 715 815 joe@rte.ie.